Now read from the Bible. Today's passage is from Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 15. Now I'll read. Very early in the morning, the chief priests and with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they have accused you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. Knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Please allow me to pray. Dear God, we thank you for this worship time today. In the past week, there's been various things that have happened in our lives. However, Lord, we know that we put all these things before you. And Lord, allow us to turn our eyes only to you this morning. Allow us to realize again, Lord, just how much it is that you love us. And how you yourself think of us as well. Allow us, Lord, to turn our eyes to you. We ask, Lord, that each and every person here receive grace and love and be able to understand that in a much deeper way. We also ask that in their various circumstances and situations that you give them strength and wisdom to be able to do what it is that is in line with your word. We ask, Lord, that you will provide healing to those who need that as well. We have great expectations of what you do this morning and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, too, we'll be going over a word from God from the passage it was read just a moment ago. Just a while ago, my son actually quizzed me and he asked me, "What is the worst and the best and also at the same time the best time of your life?" And he's like, "What?" And I was just thinking, oh my gosh, how would I answer? So in order to ask him what he was getting at, I asked him, "What is the worst and yet the best instance of your life?" And he replied, "Well, for me, it's when an alive Tyrannosaurus Rex comes right in front of me." So he would have been excited to see it, but probably killed because the thing would eat him. So for you, what is the worst and yet the best situation in your life? For some people, maybe marriage. There may be a lot of things that happen. And for some people, it may be like winning the lottery. When you win it, of course, you'd be happy, but then your life may fall apart trying to deal with all the financial related issues. So the worst and yet the best instance in the world, when you think about it, for us, would be the cross of Jesus Christ. Thinking about the cross, it is actually a symbol that's used in Christianity. In the early church, for example, though, they actually had a different motif. Do you know what it was? It was actually the fish. A fish was used as a symbol, and it's called ichthys in Greek. And taking the various letters of that, it indicates it's Jesus is the Savior. And that's what the early church used as their symbol for Christianity. Actually, though, the cross became a symbol of Christianity starting in after the second century. Why did it take so long for that to become the symbol? Well, because many people didn't want to use such a symbol of the most cruel punishment as a symbol of Christianity. So people who actually chose to have this as the symbol for Christianity were ones after this had actually taken place for Jesus quite a bit later. It is truly one of the most cruel forms of punishment. And in Rome, that's where it was developed, as to try to come up with the most prolonged way to kill someone. And this was what actually Jesus Christ endured when he died. And it is definitely the worst thing that happened in history. But at the same time, it was also the best thing that has happened in history too. And that's because through the death of Jesus Christ and resurrection, that it has resolved our problem of sin. Let's first look a little bit at the background of today's passage. And the last time and the time before that, I talked about the Sanhedrin and how Jesus underwent judgment then. In that Jewish parliament, he was sentenced to death for blasphemy. However, in that time, Jews were under the rule of Rome, and so even if a death sentence was given, Jews couldn't do anything. They had to appeal to the Roman government. Once again, Jesus was given the death penalty for blasphemy, or sentenced to it. But because of what he did, it wasn't warranting that. And so in order for this to come to pass, they had to actually send him to Rome and have the judgment made for a different reason, that Jesus was actually a threat to the government, and then have him tried for that. And that's what we are looking at today. Let's look at the different people that come into the passage today and think about how this reflects on us under the topic of what we did to Jesus. The first point today is learning from Pilate's stance and how we can learn about the situation of our sin. Pilate was one who lived sent to Rome to rule over Judea from 26 to 36 AD. During the period of the festival, he actually came to Jerusalem, where he wasn't usually. And at that time, that's when Jesus was tried. The Jews and the chief priests who wanted to have Jesus killed had to have proof. And so they used Judas to enable this to happen. And because of this, their plan was able to come to pass. If you look at a parallel passage to today's passage in another gospel, you'll read how the chief priests had to find proof, but to prove Jesus was guilty, but they were unable to do so. And during his trial, Pilate was surprised about one aspect of Jesus. Let's look at verse 5. It explained how Jesus made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. In other words, Jesus didn't do anything to defend himself or get upset, and Pilate was surprised at this. And then he was really wondering who this Jesus is, and was able to discern that he wasn't truly a threat to the Roman government. And so Pilate was wondering exactly what motive they have for trying to have Jesus killed. Verse 10, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. So Pilate was trying to find a way to have Jesus released, but in the end, even though he knew Jesus was innocent, he didn't have him released, but instead gave him over to the people to do as they pleased. So why is it that Pilate, who knew that Jesus was innocent, do such a thing? Why didn't he release Jesus and just instead give him over to the people? What is it that he feared? What it was is that if he was fearful of the people, if they would revolt because of his decision, and then he may lose his position over that. Jesus, who was the truth, was in front of him, but yet he was not able to just focus on that, but rather focus on what would happen to himself. Pilate wanted to defend himself and his position and proclaimed that he had no responsibility and turned Jesus over. When we read this passage, it's easy to look down on Pilate and criticize him. However, if we humble ourselves and look at Pilate and what he did, we can look at this from a different perspective, realizing that we too have the same type of weakness that Pilate did. Through people's sin, we can actually realize the sin in our own lives. Let me explain one example of this. In Chicago, there is a pastor. And in the Second World War, after the Nazis were taken over of him, he went to one of the concentration camps there to help release the people there as helping the army. And he looks back over his experience, saying the following. He said, "After I was sent to the concentration camp of Dachau, I will never forget what it is that I saw. I was in charge of a freight train at that time, and there were several hundred bodies of Jewish people piled up there in a very orderly fashion. The Nazis were very particular about how they aligned and did things, and depending on the person's body shape and size, that is how they were piled up there. Our job, or my job, was to move furniture, in a sense, to move these bodies from the train to a different location. And I was shocked at how lightweight the bodies were. When I was in the freight train, it was probably a period of about 2 hours, but for that 2 hours was a time when it just really I thought of a lot of emotions. At the same time, I felt mercy. I also felt resentment and disgust. And I felt all kinds of emotions in that 2 hour period. And in light of that, that's the circumstance I had to go through. The other soldier who was helping me was by the name of Chuck. And he was from Chicago. And he had he had been part of the Al Capone group in prior times. He was responsible for taking 12 of the Nazi officers to a certain area. And after he had disappeared a couple of minutes later, I heard the sound of an automatic rifle. And then Chuck came back just by himself as if nothing had happened. However, there was smoke still going up. And Chuck said to me, "Oh, the guys tried to run away." But I knew exactly what had happened. Chuck had made a decision by himself to kill these 12 Nazi officers. This also really hit my heart. At first, when I was in the freight train, I just felt disgusted and it felt terrible just realizing the presence of evil. And then after what Chuck did, that really caused me to fear something. It made me realize that I too could possibly be capable of doing such a terrible thing. And if I was told to do such a thing, I likely would have done the same thing Chuck had just done. When I realized this, I realized just how terrible evil is, and I made a decision. I needed to give my life to God and to become a pastor to get out of this evilness. Through those experiences, he realized that he had sin in his heart that he was unable to get rid of. And as long as he had sin, just like any person, there would inevitably be some circumstance in anyone's life where we could do unthinkable things. For us as well, we have sin. When we're thinking about Pilate, we can reflect on ourselves and the weaknesses that we have. The Bible states that all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of sin, our relationship with God is broken and we are headed for destruction. Next, we can think about Barabbas and the concept of salvation. Pilate was trying to have Jesus released, and he used the custom at that time to do so. In those days, Rome was having a festival, and they had this custom of releasing a prisoner, and that was just one of the things they did. In doing so, that would calm down upset Jews and allow a positive feel to the festival. And Pilate used this as a way to try and help Jesus. It's likely that he would have thought that the chief priests and these other people wanted to have Jesus executed. But he also realized that Jesus was popular among the crowds. And so if he would allow Jesus to be released, then the crowds would be happy with Pilate. He put Barabbas up against Jesus and asked the crowd, "Who do you want released?" So who was Barabbas? Well, if you look at other Gospels and parallel passages, it actually describes him saying that he had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. So it doesn't explain exactly what kind of sin he committed, but you can see how Pilate was trying to have somebody up against Jesus who was definitely a threat and terrible person. And in contrast with that, Jesus wasn't. So he was thinking the people would choose Barabbas for sure. Choose Jesus for sure, and then that would work in his favor. However, the crowd went with the chief priests and others and wanted Barabbas to be released instead. How do you think Barabbas would have reacted when he heard this? He would have been, in prison and in the fear of death at any moment. he would have been living in a life of fear. In his heart, he would have likely been reflecting and regretting the sin that he committed and figured that, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen and that he would have absolutely no control over it. And in those circumstances, he would have received unbelievable news. He would have been told, Barabbas, you're released. And he likely wouldn't have believed it at first. And there wasn't any reason why he should have been released. It wasn't that he was a good prisoner or that in the prison he had proven himself actually innocent or anything. He was just experiencing God's grace. So when we look at Barabbas, we can realize that we too are in a very similar circumstance. Just like him, we are sinful and headed for destruction. However, due to Jesus and his resurrection, we have now hope for salvation. And there's no reason why we should be saved, of course, in and of ourselves. It's just because of what Jesus did. And that is what allows us this opportunity. If you look at Ephesians 2:8-9, it says the following, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The Bible states that in order to be saved, there's nothing that we can do. There's no work we can possibly do, but rather just to believe in the work that Jesus has done. And if we believe this is true and it was done for ourselves, then we can be saved and receive eternal life. Salvation is a present from God, which is given to us. However, if you think about it, why is it that we don't need to do anything to be saved? Well, it's because sin is something that we can't do enough on our own power to fix or resolve. There's nothing we can do to compensate for all of our sin. You can realize just how terrible our sin is. And realize also that Jesus Christ had to die in order for our sin to be paid in full. There's nothing that we can do on our own power to resolve this. And that is why Jesus took that upon himself. All we need to do to be saved is to believe. It's easy. And the way is easy as well. But in the background of that, you can see just what a great sacrifice Jesus had to make in order for this to be possible. Some people may think, oh, salvation is just cheap and it's not even something. But that's not the case. God made the decision for provide a way to save us. And that is what we can learn from looking at Barabbas in today's passage. There's one thing I'd really like you to think about from today's passage. It's how we were saved by grace by God, and that's true. And when we receive God's salvation, it was truly a form of grace, and we often become humble in response. When we look at the cross from this perspective and see how salvation was given to us, we can realize that exactly who we are. And as we were just like Barabbas mentioned a moment ago, we are also like the chief priests in the crowd that put Jesus on the cross as well. In the final point, I'd like to address this issue. It's regarding the chief priests in the crowd. They cried out that they wanted Jesus on the cross. For some people, it was just to protect their position. For other people, it was because they couldn't understand that Jesus was the true Messiah because they had a different image of the Messiah. Amongst the people in the crowd, we too are ones that could have easily been there. Jesus died for our sins. And if we think about it, we realize that our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. Our sin, my sin and your sin, is what caused Jesus to be put on the cross. There's a famous person by the name of Rembrandt from 16th who wrote, made this painting of the Rise of Christ in 1634. And amongst the people in the crowd in his painting, he actually painted himself in there. And this reflects just his faith in Christ as well. There was a time when he came to the realization that he too was there. He realized that Jesus took his sin upon himself as well. And that his sin is also what put Jesus on the cross. So he realized he himself was there. When you come close to the cross, we can realize that our sin is what put Jesus there. After Jesus was put on the cross, the crowd was shouting to do so, and also the chief priests as well. And that's what happened. The voices of abuse and ridicule cried out to Jesus, "If you're really the Son of God, then come down off the cross. Save yourself," they were screaming at him. Jesus, of course. Was it not that he couldn't come off the cross? No, he was the Son of God. And of course, he could have come off the cross if he had made that decision. But he decided not to. Why is it that he decided that? It's because of the love he had for us. What kept his decision to stay on the cross was not the nails pounded in his hands and in his body, but rather his love for us. And in thinking about how he loved us and has forgiven in us, that is something truly to reflect on. When we read today's passage, we can see just the depth and breadth of Jesus' love. His death is something in history that truly was the most terrible thing in history, but at the same time, also the best thing that happened. And we can remember that by reading it. Last, I'd like to read the words of Paul, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be able to worship you. Today we've looked at three different people and reflected on Jesus' salvation. We've looked at Pilate and realized that we too have the same weaknesses that he did. We've also realized, Lord, that as Barabbas was saved by you, we too have been saved by your decision and what you did. There's no reason why we should be saved in and of ourselves. We know that, Lord, you love us, and it was your decision, and you've given us salvation as a present. Allow us to remember that again today with gratitude. We also remember, through reading today's passage, how even as we were saved as Barabbas was, we too were the people, just like the priest, chief priest in the crowd, that placed Jesus on the cross. Jesus We ask that you allow us to remember just how much you love us and you have forgiven us. And Lord, in your immense love, we thank you. In this coming week, Lord, we'll have the opportunity to go out into different places and meet people. Allow us, Lord, to do so in your love and to be used by you in the various places we go. We thank you for this opportunity. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us in this new week and forevermore. Amen. We'll have a few announcements and close today. Please refer to the screen in front. The Naomi Group just had this LRT event a minute ago, a few moments ago, and they're off on the LRT.